Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. We have been following or you guys have been following me concerning this teaching about sicknesses, disease, and evil spirits and so forth. We are now, I believe this is our third or fourth podcast that we're looking at this subject. And I started this series on healing and sicknesses and so forth. And so we wanted to track through the Bible as far as the New Covenant dealing with Jesus Christ when it comes to dealing with evil spirits. We went and we saw who they were and where their origin from, and we know that their origin was the union between the angels and the women of the planet, and they give birth to these creatures that we call Nephilims. And God had said that their spirit belongs here. We saw through several other sources in the Bible, we saw that they had decided that they are going to be, they're going to do certain things to mankind here. They felt that we were to blame for all of their punishment. And so they said that they will use us and destroy the body and all that type of stuff. And so we've been looking at that. Unveiling the mysteries of evil spirits and so forth. Today, I wanted to look at how did Jesus handle them. We started in the last podcast. And Jesus being the firstborn of the begotten, meaning that we are to be imitators of him, and he actually told us that we ought to be imitators of him and follow what he does. We talked, we mentioned a little about salvation, how salvation plays into that. Salvation plays into that because it allows us to be restored because we are translated from one kingdom, as we said, into another. How does that happen? That happens through birth. Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. Birth, meaning you must be born again, believing who Jesus is, what he has done, confess that. And what happens is that you and I receive a new spirit by which that spirit connects to God, and we are restored to how it was with Adam. Partially, just the spiritual part of that is reconnected. We still have a corrupt flesh and a corrupt soul, and it's our responsibility to save the soul. He says, your word I hid in my heart that I may not sin against you. We sin against God in our soul, and the body also is a tool that is used by the soul to commit these sins. Jesus said to when he was teaching about it, he said, if you have already committed it in your heart, and we, through studying, we know that your heart is the chamber of the man's soul. If you committed the sin there, you've already sinned. And he admonished the priests at the time, the religious folks. He says, you guys don't focus on the weightier things. You focus on superficial teaching, and we see that in today's church. So let's take a look at what did Jesus do with his disciples, and how did he manage them? The book of Mark has a lot of details, and some of them, Matthew, Luke, all of these epistles have it. We know that in Mark chapter 5, this is an incident with a gentleman who is at the Sea of Galilee, and the evil spirit in him made him act crazy a while, and people bound him with chains to control him, but he broke the chains. So what did we notice there? That his behavior is altered by evil spirits, and also his strength is altered by these evil spirits. Why is that? Because we know that they are Nephilim spirits. They were from the Nephilim. The Nephilim were pretty strong and powerful beings. So we know that this guy, because as we studied previously, that these Nephilim spirits said that they will be coming and tormenting you and I and so forth. And so in this story, we see that the man, he spent all day and night in the mountains, in the cave, crying all the time, cutting himself. Again, behavior, as to detrimental behavior that harms his health and harms others. Guys, I know there's been this onslaught of movies with zombies and evil spirits and evil this, and some of the craziest movies I've seen. And when you begin to look at those, you are entertaining that type of energy, if you will, that type of belief. And when you are doing that, you are giving permission to these Nephilim spirits that are roaming all over the place, because he said that they're here. We talked about the one last week when he said Jesus Christ kicked them out of the house, and then he says he went into the desert and he said, look, I'm going, the desert is dry, I'm going back to my house. And he called that body, the human body, his house. And so there was a symbiotic relationship there that was broken by the power of God. And it is our responsibility to maintain, because that spirit will come back, and he's coming back more powerful. So we see this man in Mark chapter 5. He's hurting himself. The people chained him up. He's breaking the chain. And then one day Jesus Christ is coming, and he's approaching from the Sea of Galilee. He's in a boat. So when he comes out, the man runs to him in Mark chapter 5. Okay? The man runs to him. Jesus makes a response. He made a request. Jesus told the evil spirit to come out. So that's his command that he gave when he showed up. The evil spirit knew Jesus was the Son of God, and he asked Jesus not to hurt him. How did they know this? They knew this because when Lucifer tempted Jesus Christ in the wilderness for that 40 days and 40 nights and came out, they knew that this was the one. And they began to plot against him, but they did not understand the plot of God, that it was the fact that he needed to die in order. That was God's plan. And Lucifer didn't know that. He just knew that there was one coming. But he didn't know the plan. Initially, God just said, you will bruise his knee, his heel, and you will bruise your head and stuff like that. That was, it just plain, you know, not much given there to Lucifer. How was that going to be done? He did not have an idea that Jesus Christ had to die, because the Bible tells us he had to die before the foundation of the earth. So he was just coming to fulfill the plan that was laid out before the foundation of the earth. And I keep telling you guys the very same thing. All of you have an assignment. Jesus had his. All of us that come to this planet have an assignment. But what we are trained to do when we get into here is to get a job. And most people, when they get that job, they find themselves that job is not able to satisfy them, to give them that joy, that happiness that they're looking for out of that. And it is designed that way. It makes you feel uncomfortable so that you can begin to pursue what is your assignment and not what your job is. And the assignment has the capability of providing for you just like your job. But you have to go before God. So we know then that these guys said, Jesus said, come out in Mark chapter 5. And when he asked them, you know, what is your name? There's another incident when he asked them, what is your name? He said to him, we are legion, we are many. And like I said, there's many that can be in that body, okay? But we can pinpoint certain things with people, when and how they behave. And we see this in many churches. You see this in movies and all that. But anyway, these guys decide to make a request. These evil spirits decide to make a request to Jesus Christ in Mark 5:15 or 5:13, I think it is. And Jesus agreed. He says, hey, go ahead and do it. And I always bring people to that scripture, usually, that are asking me stuff about, does God wants to answer our prayer? And I would point to them, if God can answer the prayer of the Nephilim, he surely will answer. Ask and it shall be given. Seek and ye shall find. The limitation is in you and I. And we've talked about that many times. What is that limitation? It is how we utilize the law of faith. For without faith, it's impossible to please God. So we have to, and the Bible tells us that faith is a law. And anything that is not of the law of faith, the Bible says, is sin. So we have to learn how to utilize the law of faith in our life so that we can get our desired outcome. These demons, they believed Jesus Christ was the Messiah and made a statement of that before. And because they believe, they know that he, you know, the Bible tells us that they believe in God and they tremble. So we know that Jesus answered these guys, and it tells us that there were 2,000 pigs that were in that area when they made that request, and Jesus said, go. And we know that the pigs were pretty smart enough to say, no, I'm not going to deal with this. And they took off, and they began to run and, you know, commit suicide, if you will. And we know that after that, these men, the man was in his right mind, and the people came to see the man, but he wasn't wild anymore. He was to himself. And as a result of that, the people became afraid, and they asked him, get out of here. So some people are you could say that they're used to being with these demons, and they prefer to have that than to be free. The man benefited from it, and the people, your family and your friends and all that stuff, will panic and, of course, you know, do whatever. The man was healed, and he wanted to go with Jesus, and Jesus told him, no, stay over here and tell your friends, be a witness to those that are here. Tell them about his great power. And we talked about Jesus' power because he told us in Isaiah 61 what those powers were able to do. And he did that. And he begins to do all of those things. You know, there's another story about a kid, the boy with an evil spirit. So it tells us then that it doesn't matter a child or an adult. It does not matter. They are seeking a body. They don't care how they get it and what body. And so this man comes to Jesus, and his son has an evil spirit in him. And it's really interesting the amount of evil spirits that Jesus Christ was dealing with in those days in at his time. And so it tells us that there's a lot of people that most likely are infested with these guys. And so Jesus, this man comes and he says his boy has evil spirit. And he tells him, he says, your disciples tried, but they couldn't heal his son. And in God's healthcare system, I tell people, God's healthcare system is about health and healing. The church and the world, because the church likes people sick, because, of course, they can keep you there. But if you get your healing, you will go out and, you know, as Jesus told the man, that make disciples. These guys are truly not interested in disciples, as I tell you. So this man comes with his son. His son has the evil spirit. His disciples try, and Jesus comes to the son, and he begins to deal with the situation. And Jesus said, to the demons to come out, you know. And once the demon came out and so forth, the disciples began to ask him. You know, it tells us that the boy began to go all kinds of crazy way, and the evil spirit reacted. So he was angry, so that we know that they have emotions. So these things are real, guys. I've seen some stuff in my life when it comes to this type of evil spirits and so forth, and it is real. I don't care what you guys said, I know it is real. If you take a look around at you today, you'll see that it's real. And so Jesus addressed his disciples and he talked to them about their faith in dealing with these creatures. And that's what I keep telling you guys. That law of faith is very important when it comes to dealing with evil spirits and casting them out and standing your ground as a believer. I heard a teaching by one of the forefathers of faith, Kenneth Hagin, that talked about the authority of the believers. It's a powerful teaching. So it tells us that Jesus commanded this evil spirit to come out and never to return in him again. So Jesus was very specific. You remember previously we talked about one of them running around, roaming, and then came back to the house. He said, and Jesus said, in this case, he gave him a command, don't you ever come back here. He tells us that the spirit was angry and it tried to hurt the guy, and then it obeyed Jesus and left. Because it recognizes who Jesus is. And once you know who you are in faith, they are absolutely 100% afraid of you. And so the Bible tells us that Jesus takes the man, the little boy, and pick him up, and the guy was healed from the evil spirits, and he left. If you study the Word of God about this thing, you will see so many scriptures about him healing sicknesses and casting out demons. I mean, just tons of scriptures in the Bible. Just take a look at it, you know, and you will understand some of the things. So now, after all of this, Jesus did this stuff. The disciples went to him and said, hey, what happened? How come we weren't able to cast this demon out? And Jesus said to them, you have to be in fasting and praying. This type, and we know that that boy was a paraplegic and so forth. So there are certain things, that diseases and things that you can recognize, but again, you would have to ask God to give you revelation as to who and what is presenting before you, and so that you can deal with it. And you have the authority to deal with it. But when you look at the book of Mark, as I said, Mark chapter 5, it'll talk about the demon-possessed man, Matthew, Luke, all of these different places, Luke chapter 11, 14. There's a gentleman that is a mute, and Jesus comes there, and Jesus was driving out a demon that was mute, and when the demon had gone out, the mute man spoke, and the crowd was amazed. Some of them say, by the power of Beelzebub, the prince of demons, he drives out demons. Others to test him, ask him for a sign from heaven. But he knew their thoughts and said to them, every kingdom divided against itself will be laid waste, and house will fall against house. Kingdom. And this is why the church of today, I call it Western Christianity. It's not true or pure Christianity or real Christianity. I don't think Jesus would recognize what is being done to the gospel, because they are not preaching the gospel of the kingdom. They are preaching the traditions of men. And most of Western Christianity is mingled with paganism. And so once it's mingled with paganism, it has no power, period. And so the church of today has no power because it's mingled with paganism. They celebrate Christmas, they celebrate all these different things that have nothing to do with Christianity and the birth of Jesus in December. We all know that that's paganism. We know all this stuff, but yet they are celebrating it, and they're just making an excuse saying, well, it's it's just a day of, look guys, when you're wrong, you're wrong, period. I mean, I don't care when you, you know, we all know it's September. We know according to the calendar. When you're wrong, you're wrong. You're preaching paganism. And when you preach paganism, there's no power. The Bible says that we ought to be preaching the kingdom, of God. And, you know, we're not doing that. And because we're not preaching about the kingdom, there's no power. And so Jesus makes the same. He said, how can this kingdom, and Jesus talked in ways of kingdom laws and principles. The kingdom principle that governs the kingdom of darkness and so forth is fearfulness, hatred, all of those negative belief systems. And when you come to the kingdom of God's dear son, the stuff that is governed there is faith, love, charity, all these different things that we are, and now we have to learn how to operate under these new policies and procedures. That's why a Christian have a difficult time, because we still, from time to time, revert back to the old training or the old programming and start hating our brothers. And then the Holy Spirit have to make us aware that, no, you can't behave that way. You need to forgive, and then you have to go to your brother, make it right, and then continue your journey as a Christian. So the Bible tells us that this is a kingdom battle going on. And one kingdom, how it treats its people, it oppresses its people through evil spirits, demons, and sicknesses and disease and all of these things. So the Bible tells us in the scriptures that we as Christians ought to test every spirit, because some of them have infiltrated the church. Some of those evil spirits are in the church, standing behind the pew, preaching heresy. So our responsibility, the Bible says in 1 John 4:1, says, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, or for many false prophets. So these false prophets, okay, are part of the system of what we call the Nephilim spirits will occupy people like that. Like there's this guy walking around today talking about the election has been stolen and stuff like that. That guy has been occupied by a Nephilim spirit, a lying spirit. And when you look at the leader of anything, and the Bible says be very careful on the leadership of an individual, because when you put yourself onto the leadership of someone, you are then partaking in whatever they're partaking in. And now you see that every single one that is partaking within the lies of this individual that was previously the president, you'll see that all of them are under the spirit of lies. Everyone, watch them. And they can't come out of it. They can't even talk the truth anymore. And it's fascinating to watch. But when you know the behind-the-scenes stuff, you can recognize that those are all demons that those boys have been occupied or possessed with. And they don't even care anymore about anything. And so our behavior, if we study, our behavior gives them permission to come in. And if they are seeking and searching, and you are living a lifestyle of sin and rebellion against God's word, definitely they're going to come into that and take their authority upon it. But the Bible tells us that they disguise themselves. 2 Corinthians says they disguise themselves like an angel of light, and all these different ways they'll come. And it tells us in Romans chapter 12, I think verses 20, it tells us, it says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So we have the capability as Christians to take authority over any of the demons and evil spirits, and even Lucifer himself. Once we walk in faith and operate in the law of faith, he will be definitely afraid of an individual like that. Take a look at Job. Job was a man, he was walking, he had a relationship with God, but yet he was a man full of fear, because when his whole family died and everything, he made this statement, the thing that I have feared has come upon me. And so as Christians, we still make mistakes, we still fall back, because our soul, it needs to be continually fed the word, the flesh of what we have is corrupt, and we're going to have a new flesh when Jesus Christ comes. The Bible tells us that that's going to happen. But we see Jesus handle these guys, and then as he was leaving, okay, as he was leaving, he gave all of us that power. And he tells us in I think it's in 1 John, he says, you, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because they, the one who is in you is greater than you, than the one that is in the world. You have overcome them. Who? Lucifer and all of his cohorts, all of his evil spirits and his demons and all of that, you know. So the Bible tells us that we have authority over them. It's how you live, you know, will dictate your decisions that you make. As we saw in James chapter 2, it says that these guys believe in one God and they tremble. And so we have to become those people that will believe in God. And in Matthew 12:43 talks about 12:43-45 is when the unclean spirit had gone out of a person, it passed through the waterless places seeking rest. We talked about that. So I wanted to make sure that you guys understand that we have power over them. And I alluded to some of them in Matthew. Let's take a look at Matthew 28:18. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heavens and all on the earth has been given to me. So we see that there was a transfer of authority when Jesus Christ resurrected from the dead, because we know that according to the word, he went down there and he preached to those that were in Abraham's bosom, the Bible says, and they, many of them came out. We know that in the books written in the Bible that there hundreds of other people came out of the grave other than Jesus Christ. And so they had to leave when he was leaving as well. And we know that he also went over to Lucifer's place. And he, Bible tells us, he stripped him of all of his power and all of his authority in front of all the demons, in front of everyone. So they know that who he is. And then he comes out and he tells his disciples, all power, all authority has been given to me. And then he says, therefore, go and make disciples. So we have to make disciples. We are, Jesus Christ has stripped all of authority from him. Luke chapter 10, verses 18 and 19. And he said to them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. All the power, anything. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. So we have authority over them just like Jesus Christ. But our faith and how we walk in our life of faith and how our lifestyle will, you know, will be able to command them to do things. And so Jesus Christ, and this is one of the things when people come to me and they're trying to tell me that Jesus and Lucifer fighting, kind of garbage stuff. Jesus said, Jesus wasn't even involved in that. He says, and I beheld, I saw Lucifer like a lightning getting his butt kicked, falling out of heaven. And we know that Michael was taking care of business, you know, and his angels, with a third of the angels from heaven, that they had that great war in the heavens, and they put them to shame. So the Bible tells us that in Ephesians chapter 6 through 11, 11 through 18, if you guys can read that on your own, the Bible says that we ought to study to show ourselves approved. So there's a responsibility for you to go and not take everyone's word. It tells us that you ought to test the spirit. Make sure that it's coming from the word of God and that it is about the word of God. It is our responsibility. It tells us that we ought to put on the whole armor of God, that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. And we see that there's some, we call them, governmental leaderships, if you will, within those people. And we see that, but we do not wrestle against the flesh and blood, the natural world. Our battle, our spiritual warfare, as they say, is against the spiritual world, Lucifer and his fallen angels and the demons and all of the evil spirits, their philosophy, their mindset. And that's what we are, because the Bible tells us we ought to bring every thought. And how does he come against us? Through our thoughts. Bring every thought into captivity, a mindset. So we are commanded to put on the that we are not our warfare is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, and against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And because we are warring against those type stuff, we have to take up the whole armor of God, that we may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loin girded with truth, and having a breastplate of righteousness. Again, these guys were back in the day in the Roman time, and they were looking at a Roman soldier just giving an example of what the word does, and your equipment, your tools that you need in order to be ready. And it tells us, after we put on all of those clothing, okay, garden your loin, the truth, having a breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, after you get all that, taking the shield of faith, taking the shield of faith, that law of faith, okay, that we talked about is a law. Anything that is not a faith is sin. So we have to take this principle, this law of faith, and by this law of faith, we shall be able to stand and quench all the fiery darts of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, and all of those different things. But, and then it tells us, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And so these are some of the other ways by which you and I are walking. And we are then, we have become, if you will, mini Jesus on this planet Earth. Every born-again believer has the ability to walk and speak as Jesus' authority, in his authority, because he has given it to us. He has given us power to tread on scorpions. He's given us this authority that we can walk in as Christians, but one must be maintaining that life of walking in faith, that life of being ruled, if you will, or governed by the Spirit and not by the flesh. And the Bible tells us how to do that in the book of Galatians. And that's one of the things that I've studied and bring to you guys. So these demons and evil spirits, we saw what they are and who they are and how Jesus took and dealt with them. He commanded them. He spoke to them. And we've seen all these things, these people, holy water sprinkling in the movies, something on you know, the possessed individual, the Catholic Church, which is a pagan religion. That's not how Jesus dealt with them. We just read how he dealt with them. He wasn't sprinkling no water or nowhere. He was speaking directly to them in his authority, telling them what to do. Don't you come back here ever again. You leave here. When there was something, he said that some of them is fasting and prayer, and so you need to lock yourself up. Jesus Christ, his life was that of a faster, so that when he was able to deal with that, and he was one that walked by faith. And so you don't have to follow all this crazy stuff that people do. I mean, Paul was walking in and teaching, and there is this woman in the way that was yelling, here's a teacher of God and whatever. And the scripture tells us that Paul perceived that this woman had an evil spirit, and he turned around and dealt with it. And a man got angry with him because he dealt with it. But this is how we are supposed to, because you have to recognize that you are of an authority. if I'm in authority, why am I spitting and throwing water on you? I tell you what to do. I don't come to you as one walking around and shaking water and doing all kinds of nonsense. Again, that's pagan stuff. Jesus Christ never looked at the Word of God. He spoke to them, and he requires us to speak to them. Because the disciples also spoke to them, but they did not fast and pray because they said, we spoke to him. Peter spoke to him. Paul spoke to them. You and I have to speak to them because they recognize it. The scripture that talks says, Paul I know, Peter I know, but who are you? Somebody trying to cast out a demon. If you don't, they know who we are, because when we walk in our authority that has been given to us who have been born again, you have authority over every evil spirit, every single demon on this planet that is roaming here, because that's who you are as a child of God. It is your post, if you will. It is who you are as a Christian. Now, you have to walk by faith and come to the place where you believe that. And when you believe that, you become very dangerous in the eyes of the enemy. And so he will do whatever possible to make sure that every single Christian on this planet does not get an insight as to who they truly are and the authority that has been given to them through Jesus Christ and by Jesus Christ to do what he was doing before. If you, as I mentioned to you guys, if you look into the Word, you'll see so many places where it says he was casting out demons by the troves. People that were bringing towns were bringing everybody, and he was casting them out. And so we have to do the very same thing. And like I said, you know, get busy, guys. Get to know who you are in Christ. And we're going to continue this. We're going to look into the sickness, the diseases and stuff like that as well next week, and look and see how did Jesus deal with diseases. We see how he dealt with the evil spirits and demons. He spoke to them. He had and he had a conversation with them. They had conversation, and many times he told them, "Shut up! Don't you say a word! Don't you tell anyone who's about me." So he spoke to them because they are in that body. They recognize him. They know who he is. And then they, just like they recognize and know who he is, they will recognize and know who you are too, because they did say, Peter we know, Paul we knew, but who are you? So they're looking to see who is walking in their authority. And when they see that individual, they are very fearful of you. And Jesus said, these kinds, some of them only come out by praying, fasting and praying. So you and I then must maintain a lifestyle of fasting and praying, if you will, because we don't know when that kind, when we will be in a situation where that kind is there and we don't have the result of what happened with the disciples, we would have the result of what happened with Jesus Christ. Let me take you to Acts chapter 16 and I'll show you that situation, as I mentioned, with Paul and that woman. 16 verses, 16 to 18. And we were going to a place of prayer. We were met by a slave girl who had a spirit of divination and brought her owner much gain by fortune telling. Fortune telling has, the fortune teller has a spirit of divination. And God tells us in the Bible, do not seek any counsel from those type people. And many people today that grew up in the pagan church are running to people like that to read their palms and read their stuff. Saul did that and he lost his way and God turned his back on him. Do not go to these people. This woman had a spirit of divination and she brought her owner much money by fortune telling. She followed Paul and us, crying, these men are servants of the Most High God. The devil knows who you are. And they pronounce them, they can tell people who you are if you're walking by faith. Who proclaimed to you the way of salvation? So even the demons are telling people how to get saved. This woman, the spirit of divination, is telling people how to get saved. But most people are dense and they don't listen. But if you listen to the demon of the spirit of divination telling you, these men are proclaiming the way of salvation. These men, Christian men, the followers of Jesus Christ, not Christian, the followers of Jesus Christ. We have these people that call themselves Christians, but they have, and again, Christianity to me is a pagan religion of today. So anyway, the enemy is, the spirit of divination is telling these men are here telling you how to get saved, people. And this she kept doing for many days, and Paul had enough one day. Paul, having become greatly annoyed, turned and said to the spirit. You notice he didn't say, he didn't talk to the girl. He said to the spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And it came out that very hour. I myself have been in a situation where we were in a situation where we were had individuals that we cast out demons of in other people's lives as well. And so I'm telling you guys, this is real. I'm watching a whole party, a whole part of America, we call it a party, that has sided with and agreed to be followers of lies. And so I deem that all of them, I don't care who they are, if you are a party to that, I believe that you will reap what you sow, and they are partaking of it. And if you look at them, you will see they are deceived because the spirit of lies has taken them up. And you can see them try to talk just plain stuff, and they're in pretzels, and you're watching them, and a great deal of the political world and the whole world is in a tremendous amount of deception. So you have to take your authority. Sometimes you have to get annoyed. He was walking there, and he didn't bother them until he had annoyed. He became annoyed. And so, let me bring you to another story in Mark 9:38. Jesus said to him, Teacher, and John said to him, Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him, but he was not following us. So someone else other than the disciples were doing some work for Jesus Christ. And Jesus didn't, Jesus talked to them, because it's really fascinating. There is somebody else, Lord Jesus, that is over there casting out demons in your name. And Jesus told them, that's okay. And so, if you remember, Jesus made a statement, he said, in that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not do this? Did we not cast out demons? Did we not heal the sick in your name and all that stuff? And Jesus looks at them and says, I never knew you. I don't know who you are. And so that tells us that the power is not in the individual. The power is in the authority of the name of Jesus Christ. They recognize the name of Jesus and they bow to that. Because the Bible says every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess about Jesus Christ. They will bow to that name. Whoever you are, atheist, rebellious, I don't care who you are, Lucifer, all the angels, all the fallen angels, all the angels, all me, everybody, everyone, it says will bow to the name of Jesus Christ and to Jesus Christ at some point. You think you will not bow, but you will. You know, however you bow is going to be determined by your choices. So I want to thank you guys for following me and growing the channel. I really appreciate it, man. We're going to continue this series. to see how did dealt with sicknesses and disease. We saw how he dealt with demons and evil spirits. He spoke to them. He's very direct. Paul was very direct. He says, come out. Jesus said to the one, he says, come out and don't come back. The other one said, he said, come out. And they said, wait, send us to the pig. So Jesus had the authority to send them somewhere. They said, they recognized that he was going to kick them out. He had the authority too. And they said, yeah, we get it, we know. But could you send us to those 2,000 pigs? And Jesus said, go ahead. And the 2,000 pigs said, oh, heck no. And they took off. But every time you see when Jesus was dealing with these entities, he spoke to them, commanded them because he had the authority. Because he says, all authority is given to me in the heavens and the earth, and I'm giving it to you. So you, as a born-again creature in Christ, new creation, have the same authority of Jesus Christ, but you don't know it. You have to walk by faith, go before God and the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ. They will teach you who you are. And then I would maintain that life of fasting and praying. And when that time comes, as you're walking around the streets doing stuff like that, demons are going to be getting you annoyed, and you'll be able to handle it as Paul did. I want to thank you guys again for following me, and I thank you for sharing it. Also, I see many of you are sharing. Thank you so much. And I want to encourage you guys to get before God, become born again, because we are walking in, I've said to you guys, next year, 2025, begins the last Jubilee, which is the last 50 years on this planet before the millennium age. So, which means that things are going to be ratcheted up a little more intense each year as we get closer to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that the just shall live by faith. We walk by faith and not by sight.